Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday we started a chapter on the virtue of fasting in the month of Muharram, fasting in Shaban, and fasting in the sacred months. The sacred months we mentioned, Muharram, Rajab, Zilqa'dah, Zilhijjah. These are the months that are known as the sacred months. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought different ahadith showing the virtue of fasting on these different occasions. Today we do another hadith where Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to a person that how he should fast. From this hadith we learn something, is that there is no one answer for everybody. Sometimes depending on the sa'il, depending on the condition of the person that is asking, or the person that is being advised, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would advise him in one condition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give him certain advice. For example, one young sahabi came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked that, may I kiss my wife when I'm fasting? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him no. And then there was an old person and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him permission to kiss his wife while he's fasting. So we might think that two different people, two different instructions were given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two different rulings. But based on the condition of the person that is asking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the ruling. So in this hadith also we'll see, based on this person's condition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him. Similarly, a doctor will do the same based on the patient that is coming to him. Accordingly, the doctor will prescribe. He can't just have one prescription for every single patient that comes. It doesn't work. Different people, different conditions. So therefore, there's a different level of instruction. Today's hadith, Al-Mujiba al-Bahiliyyah رضي الله تعالى عنها عن أبيها وعمها حضرت مجيبة الباهلية رحمة الله عليها. She mentions from her father or her uncle. So she's narrating either from her father or from her uncle. أنه أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم انطلق فأتاه بعد سنة. That her uncle or her father had came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and then he left and he went away. So he came, he spent time for with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went away and after 1 year now he came back to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came to Rasulullah sallam, spent time, went away, and after 1 year he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was an interval of 1 year. وَقَدْ تَغَيَّرَتْ حَالُهُ وَهَيْئَتُهُ. Now when he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his condition had changed completely, drastically. There's a big change in his condition, in his appearance, etc. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَمَا تَعْرِفُنِي. So now when he came back after 1 year, he's asking Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, do you recognize me? قَالَ وَمَنْ أَنْتَ. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't recognize him because his outward condition had changed so much, his appearance, etc. had changed so much. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَمَنْ أَنْتَ. Who are you? قَالَ أَنَا الْبَاهِلِي الَّذِي جِئْتُكَ عَامَ الْأَوَّلِ. He said, I am Bahili, the one who had come to you 1 year ago. 1 year ago I had come to you. قَالَ فَمَا غَيِّرَكَ. Now look, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many people he was interacting with, but he had a personal touch with every person. Every person he had a personal touch with. This person had come to see him and he went away. After 1 year he's coming again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized that this person's appearance, everything had changed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that what has caused this change in you? وَقَدْ كُنْتَ حَسَنَ الْهَيْئَةِ. When you had such a good appearance, such a good outward condition you had, suddenly you changed like this. What has caused this to you? قَالَ مَا أَكَلْتُ طَعَامًا مُنْذُ فَارَقْتُكَ إِلَّا بِلَيْلٍ. He said, since I left you, from that time I left you, in other words, for this 1 year, I haven't eaten except at night. Every day is fasting. I haven't eaten, I've been fasting every single day. I only eat at night. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَذَّبْتَ نَفْسَكَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you have tortured yourself. Can you imagine? The benefit of always finding out whilst we're doing things. Sometimes in our mind we might think that something is good. Outwardly it seems in our mind it seems good, but in reality it's not good, it is different. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his mind he was thinking that he's doing a good thing, that he's not eating at all, every single day he's fasting. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, you have tortured yourself. عَذَّبْتَ نَفْسَكَ ثُمَّ قَالَ سُمْ. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising how he should fast. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, sum shahra sabri, fast in the month of sabr, meaning fast in Ramadan. Keep that fast, wa yawman min kulli shahrin, and keep one fast in every other month. So fast the month of Ramadan, and every other month keep one fast. Now this is a prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving to this person. This is what you should do. قَالَ زِدْنِي فَإِنَّ بِي قُوَّةً O Rasulullah, he's telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that allow me to do more because I got more strength. One fast only every month, he's thinking to himself. I got more strength, so allow me to do more. قَالَ سُمْ يُومَيْنِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, fast 2 days every month. قَالَ زِدْنِي He said, O Rasulullah Sallam, allow me to do more. قَالَ سُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ Then Rasulullah Sallam told him, fast 3 days every month. قَالَ زِدْنِي He said, O Rasulullah Sallam, allow me to do more. قال سم من الحرم واترك سم من الحرم واترك سم من الحرم واترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling him that what you should do is that you should fast in the sacred months and then stop fast in the sacred month and then stop 3 times Rasulullah told him this fast in the sacred months and then stop in other words that when you fasting fast in the other 3 months in these sacred months Muharram, Rajab, Zilqa'da and Zilhijjah So fast, keep roza, keep fast this month and stop. Don't fast every single day. Keep one fast, stop. Keep one fast, stop like that in these months. So in other words, not every month of the year now, but fast, you keep fast in these months and then stop. So Rasulullah is increasing it for him gradually. وَقَالَ بِإِسْبَعِهِ ثَلَاثَ فَضَمَّهَا ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَهَا Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he joined his 3 fingers together like this. And then he separated it. In other words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at the condition and the halat of a person, and accordingly he's prescribing. So yeah, he was told that he fast every month, and then he asked Rasulullah to increase it. Well, he was told keep one, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said two. Then he asked again, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, he increased it. And what did Nabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it from 2 to 3? And then again he asked, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in these sacred months, what you do is you fast for 3 days and you stop, you fast for 3 days and you stop. Over and above what Rasulullah had allowed him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created this further concession. Just to give for our understanding purposes how sometimes outwardly something might look like it is not good, it might look like it is even a failure. But yet in reality, in hakikat, this is something that is very good. Yesterday we did this, had we mentioned the incident of Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. That Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullah alayhi, he was the brother of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu an. He was a tabi, he was not a sahabi. But he had a illness and sickness that he needed his leg to be amputated. And whilst he was in that condition, his child had fallen from the roof, was trampled over by animals. But yet, outwardly it looked like a difficult situation. But what dua he made, that, Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've given me 4 limbs, you've only taken 1 limb. Then, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've given me 7 sons, I still got 6 left. So, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I take an oath in you that you leave, although you take something away, you leave a person with enough so that he can continue. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the one that grants comfort after causing any type of difficulty. There was an incident that had taken place in Khandla in India. In India, there's a lot of things that are happening at the moment when it comes to the Babri Masjid and it comes to other issues. So sometimes we get very worked up. We don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that outwardly it might look like a difficult situation, but inwardly there's a lot of hikmat in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So in Khandla there was a dispute over a plot. The Hindus were claiming it that this is our plot, and the Muslims were claiming it that this is our plot for a masjid. So the Hindus wanted it for a temple, and the Muslims wanted it for a masjid. This was in the earlier times of the British rule. So now, the magistrate had, when this had come now, this case had come in the time of the British. So the magistrate had asked the Muslims, do you all have any Hindu that will give testimony in your favor? So the Muslims said, no, no Hindu will give testimony in our favor. Then the magistrate, British magistrate, asked the Hindus, do you all have any Muslim that will testify in your favor? So they said that we know of one old Muslim person. And this Muslim person, we know him throughout his life. He was a very straight person. He never spoke a lie. Perhaps we're hoping that even on this occasion, he won't speak a lie. He'll be very honest. So this magistrate summoned for this person. His name was Mahmud Bakhsh. He was the brother of Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Rahmatullah Alayh. So this magistrate had summoned for him that come to court so that you can testify in this matter. So he had taken an oath. In the time of the British, he had taken an oath. I take an oath that I wouldn't look at the face of a British person. Because of the amount of tyranny and persecution that the people were undergoing in the time when of the British rule. So he had taken that oath. So he sent a reply back to the court that I've already taken this oath that I will not look at the face of a British person. So the magistrate sent a reply that come to court, no problem, you don't have to look at the face, you don't have to look at my face, but just come to the court and be part of the proceedings. So he had agreed and he had come to court, and at the court now he was facing his back to the magistrate. So the whole case was being taking place, and then now he was asked to give his testimony. That honesty he had, that character he had given testimony and said, to the best of my knowledge, this particular plot belongs to the Hindus. It seemed like an uproar, that there is a Muslim person is giving testimony for a piece of land in favor of the Hindus. So then what had happened is the magistrate now passed a ruling that this particular plot belongs to the Hindus. So many of the Muslims, they were, outwardly it looked like a loss. Outwardly it looks like a loss, but in the kitabs it is written that this was a loss to the Muslims, but this was a gain. The Muslims outwardly seemed like they had lost, but Islam had won on this occasion. Why? Because so many Hindus on that occasion, they saw the honesty of this Muslim. They all came up to him and they accepted Islam. They said, if you can be such an honest person, that even in a matter like this, you upheld the truth, then this religion that you are must be 100% true. Many, many people came up to him and they accepted Islam at his hands. So therefore, in the Kitab is written that this was a loss for a Muslim, but Islam had won on this occasion. Often it happens that if some things that happen, they look like they're outwardly against us, but in reality there is a lot of benefit in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of understanding this. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.